Good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody has had a good week. It is good to see some of y'all who have been through various surgeries and through illnesses and everything else back with us today. And it's just kind of good to start to feeling good again. I saw several people that I don't think I've seen feel that good for a long time. I know because they were being ornery to me. Matter of fact, somebody stuck a bottle of water in my jacket, and I don't know if it was a kindness. I think it was. But, oh, it was HL. Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't know if it was kindness or if they were just joking, because when I put my jacket on, I thought, this isn't my jacket. I thought, well, I was trying to figure out what it was. I thought it might be another Barbie doll. So let me tell you about the Barbie doll this last week. We had an estate sale for 2 weeks. Our girls came down and they did estate sales for us. And in some of the junk that we had two brand new Barbie dolls in the box. And Rebecca came to me and said, you don't need to sell this at the estate sale. You need to put this on eBay and sell it. And so I did. And it sold. And so the beauty of it was, though, that I stuck it in one of those express boxes where you couldn't tell what was in it. And so I brought it to the post office, and I gave it to Debbie. And I'd had Mark Fragile on that, not to crush it. And Debbie said, is it glass? I said, no, it's a Barbie doll. Well, Thomas, who is not here today, who's always here today, but he probably not feeling good, came tripping back to the front and said, oh, you play with Barbies too? And so I said, you just go sashay back to your work spot. So anyway, once Thomas and Barbara found out about it, and Debbie, and then Patricia Sims was in there, and she doesn't know anybody but Jerry and all the people she worked with, and Jerry doesn't know anybody but the entire panhandle, so I knew the secret would be safe, so I figured I'd just go ahead and confess right now, but it wasn't my Barbie, or at least I'd never taken it out of the box, as you can see. I want to talk about not fretting today. I think this is one of the hardest things in our life is not to fret. And I came across an event that had occurred, and it was Zig Ziglar who told about it. But it was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he and his son had been participating in a golf tournament as part of their vacation. He said it was just beautiful in Phoenix that week. But when they got through with it, when they were on the way to the airport, it was just raining to beat the band. As a matter of fact, it was hailing. And when they got to the airport, nothing was working right. They were behind schedule because of the rain and because of the hail. And in addition to that, they were having computer problems. And so as they were in this line, which he said had 476 people in it, though he may have been exaggerating, he said there was this one guy, the one that was the gate agent. And he said everybody that came past the gate agent just unloaded on him and let him have it. They let him know how disappointed they were with the weather. They let him know how disappointed they were with the computer programs. And they let him know how they were disappointed with the economy. And so by the time Zig Ziglar got up there, and if you know Zig Ziglar, he's a positive guy. He said, well, how are you today? And the guy just glowered at him and said, as opposed to who? And Zig Ziglar said, well, as compared to the guy who doesn't have a job to go to, or as compared to the guy who doesn't have proper clothes to wear, or as opposed to those who live in other countries who don't have freedom of speech or the freedom to travel around, or as opposed to people who don't even have control over their own future. And he said a change came over that young man, and he said, the young man smiled at him and said, well, I'm doing wonderfully well, which is one of Zig's comments. So he must ask Zig first. But he said after that, the whole man's attitude just changed completely. And he said, as a matter of fact, as my son and I were standing there, he upgraded us to first class. So it even improved Zig Ziglar's attitude and his son as well. But he said as he walked by, he couldn't help but notice how that young man was greeting everybody from that point forward, and with what a pleasantness that he used and courtesy that he used after that. And he made a point. He said there wasn't anything that had changed. The weather had not changed. The economy had not changed. The computer problems hadn't gone away. But what had changed was that young man had new input into his life. And that's what I want to talk to you today about as we talk about this idea of fretting. because we are commanded not to fret. But that is one of those that's easy to say but hard to do. Let me read the definition of fretting. Fretting is to give oneself up to feelings of irritation, resentful discontent, worry, or the like. To cause corrosion, gnaw. To move in agitation or commotion. To torment, irritate, annoy, or vex. Now let me ask y'all, have you had anything that caused you to fret this week? Has anything irritated you or annoyed you or vexed you? Did anything this week not go as well as you would have liked it to? And because of that, did you fret? Because this is something that we're commanded not to do. Psalms chapter 37, if you'd like to turn over to Psalms chapter 37, I want to point out how God had this figured out well before Zig Ziglar had it figured out. The solution to not fretting is to change your input. The things that are going wrong will still be there. But if you just focus on that and you don't focus on the things that are going well, you're going to be distracted from serving as best you can. I was thinking of that as we were sitting in the pews. I knew the heaters were working just right because I was too hot half the time and I was too cold half the time. And then I got to thinking, you know, we're really fortunate to have central heating. We're really fortunate when we come on a day that started off in the 20s to have a building that's heated. And if we're uncomfortable a little bit, we're uncomfortable in the 6-degree range. and we don't have any wind other than that comes from the pulpit. But the point is that when we think about things from its proper perspective and we change our input, we stop fretting. David said this, Psalms chapter 37, 1. Mine starts off by saying a psalm of David or of David. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Now, let me just make a point on this, on evil men. It is true that like the grass, they'll soon wither, and like green plants, they'll soon die away. But this is not that which we're to be taking comfort in. If we love people as we should, this is going to concern us, and we're not going to want them to wither or to die away. Now, if they refuse to repent, then of course that's what's going to happen. That's God's will, is that they wither and die away, because people like that don't have any place within His creation, or at least not within His heaven. But He gives them the opportunity to repent, and he's so serious about that He allowed Jesus to die for them. And so if we are looking at this, don't fret because of evil men, because they're going to die and be out of our way someday, we're looking at it completely wrong. We're not to fret about evil men, because really in the big picture, they don't change us unless we allow it to change us. And so we don't need to let that gnaw at us, to corrode our attitude, to agitate or irritate, or all the 101 different things that wicked men can do to our attitudes and to our day. He goes on in verse 3 and he starts to tell us about those things that can change our input so that we don't have to fret. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their evil schemes. And let me just stop and point out something. He does not say, do not fret because wicked men will not succeed in their schemes. He says, do not fret when men succeed in their ways and carry out their wicked schemes. There's still going to be wicked people in this life. And it will affect us. Their wickedness will. That's why one of the reasons why sin is sin. But he then goes on to say this, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. And let me underscore this, because I think fretting and worrying are two things that people think are optional. They think it is something that, sure, it would be good if I didn't fret, and wouldn't this be a wonderful world if I didn't have to worry, but that's not the world I live in, so I'm going to fret and I'm going to worry. And we think that it's optional, that we can take that if we want and still be pleasing to God. But that's not what this says. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. So that means if you and I spend our day fretting and worrying, that evil will come. It's not that evil might come, it is that evil will come. And this, by the way, is not a passage that is meant to limit our lives or to take away something from us that is precious. I realize worry has done a lot of things for all of us. Worry has allowed us to stay awake a little bit longer at night, and who doesn't like to stay awake a little bit longer at night? Fretting has allowed us to really think deeply about people who are irritating us and about just exactly what it is that's irritating us, so that we can come up to a solution that we will never share with them, but we think about it. Fretting only leads to evil. And may I say this? This is one of the passages in the Bible that I have failed at the most. Because when it comes to fretting and worrying, I've always kind of looked at that as optional, even knowing that it's not. We still, human nature causes us to go back to that. And then he says this, "For evil men will be cut off, but those who love the hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they'll not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace." Now, I believe he's looking forward to eternity. I think this is the same as when Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth." There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth someday. I don't know what all that entails, and I quite frankly don't know what all that means. But I know there's a lot of meek people today who don't inherit the physical land yet. But their time is coming. God has really wonderful things in store for us with this new heaven and this new earth. And I have an idea that whether David realized it or not as he was putting this prophecy into place, that's what he was talking about, at least to a certain extent. But I want to go back to this idea of how do we change this attitude of worrying and fretting, and how important it is for us to understand that it's the inputs that we place into our minds and into our lives that will change it. And David, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave us those inputs. And so let's start with verse 3, trust in the Lord. This is probably the greatest thing that will help us not to worry. And isn't it true that if you just think about it for a moment, there are so many trust verses within the Scripture that it should be enough to really, if we trust in Him, to carry it out. If we are confident that He keeps His word. David said, "I was young and then I was old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." See, I think one of the things we worry about is getting so poor that our kids have to beg bread or that we'll be forsaken somehow. We won't be. It doesn't mean we'll always have what we want when we want it. But that's a big thing to trust in. What was it Jesus said? "Why do you worry about what you'll eat or where?" He just pointed out the fact that God takes care of that. He said, "Consider the lilies of the field." And he said, "I tell you, Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like this." But there's just one passage after another that if you really thought about it and if you really trusted God, if I thought about it and I really trusted God, it would take away the fret. I don't have to worry about my food. I have to be concerned about it. And there's a big difference between concern, proper concern, and worry. Worry is fretting. Worry is absolutely worthless. Worry will only give you ulcers. It will only cause you to snap at people. It will only cause you to diminish your trust in God. And it'll hurt you, and it will hurt those who are around you. Concern, on the other hand, is positive. Concern causes you to go out and get a job if you're able to go out and get a job. Concern causes you to be frugal with what you have. Concern causes you not to buy something more than you can afford at the time. Concern causes you to repair the roof that's leaking. Concern will do many positive things for you. It'll make sure, with God's help, that you have food and dry shelter and everything that goes along with all the good things in life. But fretting and worrying won't. So trust in God. Psalms chapter 9, verse 9. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Just knowing this should change your life. Because I think there are times where we just get overwhelmed. We look at all the factors in our life and we look at all the things that we're struggling with, and it's just too much for us. And God knew that. That's why He's our refuge. If you're truly oppressed, He'll be your refuge. He's a stronghold in times of trouble. And you're going to have trouble in life. What was it that Jesus said? In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Those who know your name, David goes on to say, will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. This is one of those passages within Scripture that we should just have burned within our brain. You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. I've talked a lot to our family about this. Our family talks a lot about this, that God has never let us down one time. We've let God down a lot in our lives. Everybody does. We all needed the shed blood of Christ for forgiveness, did we not? So we let Him down. But God has never let us down. And sometimes we will think that He has. Sometimes we'll think, well, I'm sick, and that's not fair. Or sometimes we'll think, I don't have enough money, and that's not fair. Or we'll think that people are being mean to us, and that's not fair. This life is going to be a test. And nobody gets out of this life alive. But everybody who chooses to trust God and go in His direction will get out with eternal life. But this idea that the Lord has never forsaken those who seek Him ought to make us just really redouble our efforts to seek. Remember what Jesus said? Seek and you'll find. In Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. When I was a kid and somebody mean that was around that would normally pick on me was present, I would be a little bit concerned. But if I had somebody on my side who liked me that could take care of them, I had no problems. I had confidence. And possibly at times I may have misused that. But the point is that we don't worry when we're adequately protected. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. If you truly trust in the Lord your God, you're protected. You have 100% coverage. This is a spiritual protection, but it also has physical protection that goes along with it. There are certain principles contained within Scripture that will protect you in a beautiful way from a physical standpoint. But bad things will still happen to you, and you can choose, because that's a fact of life, to fret and to be agitated and irritated and just always all roiled up, or you can trust in God. But the beauty of this life is, if you'll trust in God, it becomes a really good life. But we have to trust. Psalms chapter 25, verse 1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust. O my God, do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. And then look at this. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. Think about how inclusive that is. No one whose hope in you will ever be put to shame. Do you remember, some of y'all are teenagers, but those of us who were teenagers can probably still remember back to the time we were teenagers. Do you remember one of the greatest fears that you had? Maybe I shouldn't speak for you. I can tell you what one of my greatest fears was. It was being embarrassed. That's one of the reasons that we yield to peer pressure. is because we're afraid that if we don't go along with it, we're going to stand out and then we're going to be made fun of and we just can't take that shame. And so we yield to peer pressure. Some of us never get out of that. We go through our adult life yielding to peer pressure for the very same thing. We're worried that we'll be embarrassed, that we'll be put to shame. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame. That is one of the greatest guarantees that we have in life. And so let me ask you, is your hope in God? Because if you are still continually worried about being embarrassed and put to shame, and I realize that we have to grow into this confidence, and it's going to take you a while to grow into this confidence. But again, if you're concerned about being embarrassed or put to shame, maybe it's a symptom of not having your hope in God as well as it should be. I can tell you for a fact that that was the case in my life. When I was concerned, so concerned about what other people thought of me when I was trying to do the right thing, it was because my hope and trust were not fully in God. But the more I realized that He really is faithful in keeping His promises, then that went away. And again, then you can kind of relax and enjoy life a whole lot more. Too many people go through life with this fretting. They're in torment. They're annoyed. They're vexed. There are just so many emotions and so many things that happen to you when you fret. But when you trust in God, those things go away. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. And so the writer says this, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." If you want to know how you're going to be able to get past the fretting and the worry that are so common in life and that we all struggle with, the first way to do it is to change the input that's going into your brain. And the most important thing I believe in all of that is this, trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. This is what God wants for us. So let me ask you this, is that what you want? Because if it is, it's available. But we're going to have to trust God. Invitations open this morning. If you're ready to become a Christian, we would love to help you with that. If you need the prayers of the congregation or we can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing?